Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for thevikingage.com. And as always, I'm joined by Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. Before we get started today, make sure if you're watching this on YouTube to like this video and subscribe. And if you already are subscribing, we appreciate you for doing that. Make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook, and there is, I believe, the contest to win the Justin Jefferson jersey will end on September 30th, so you don't have much time to enter that. The entry form can be found in the description of this video on YouTube, so go check that out and fill that out for your chance to win a Justin Jefferson jersey. All right, Chris, right now I'm pretty worn down. Spent yesterday at Disneyland. Walked about 97 miles, give or take here. It was like 95 out. I'm sunburned, dehydrated. I feel a little hungover, but I'm not. I didn't drink any alcohol, so I'm kind of, it wasn't as fun, but it was still an enjoyable experience at Disneyland. I was just going to ask you, have you ever had like, was there anything that you've done where you needed like a full day to recover that may or may not have involved alcohol?
Yeah, I don't know how many stories I can tell on this podcast about that, but I know the feeling. I think that Chevy Chase's vacation, or what, National Lampoon's vacation, yeah. The first one, yep, very much means a lot more to you now. Although were taking a cross-country trip to go to Wally World.
Yeah, we had 2 hours.
Chicago, but yeah. But 2 hours in like Southern California is like a cross-country trip, basically, right?
No.
With toddlers.
It's before LA, so we didn't hit that much traffic. So it wasn't too bad. With the toddlers, it was fine. It went better than expected. I have a 2- and a 3-year-old, so it went pretty good on the way there. And then on the way back, they just slept. So it was went better than expected, but you know, a lot of walking for them. We got a stroller, but our oldest didn't want to go in the stroller, so he literally walked around the whole park, and he was exhausted at the end. And I was just thinking, it reminded me of, I used to go to Warped Tour a lot. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I used to go there. Yeah. I've been there like 8 or 9 times, because I lived in Western New York. I used to go to like a Six Flags park out there, and we'd go every summer, and it'd be like 100 degrees out and just be exhausted all day, because it's like 11 to 8. That's kind of what it was yesterday, but
okay.
More,
I got one for you. Now that you brought that up, because I was thinking, part of me was thinking about my foray at, I'll call it what it is now, a Quick Trip, because I don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were some days like I would just be like, I don't want to talk to anyone right now. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit in my apartment and crack like 4 beers and recover. Mm-hmm. But, I went to Rockfest in Cadott, Wisconsin, which for those of you who do not, like, I'm not a big, like, I like having a good time, but like Rockfest is a little bit different crew than I'm used to. I listen to everything, but like Rockfest, there's a different crowd that goes than say like country.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And like, so that day we were all poor, like, either straight out of college or like a little bit after. So like we could not afford most of the amenities that most people can afford. So, I mean, we slept in a tent. We did, and I'm not, as the kids say, I'm not bougie with that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Right. But I mean, it is nice to be able to afford ice so you can keep your Keystone lights below boiling temperature. So like 3 days of just drinking and dehydrating.
3 days.
I am 300 pounds at this point. Wow. I do not feel good. I haven't taken a shower and it's like 115. I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever done. And part of it, yes, there was alcohol. There was plenty of alcohol involved. I mean, I was hammered all 3 days. Yeah. But at the same time, like by the end, I remember like 6 a.m. hitting and just waking up. And like, I wanted to wake everybody else up. Just like, let's pack the tent and let's get the hell out of here because this sucks. So, you know, it was fine. We saw Kid Rock. That was cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask Ted you who was
Nugent.
Playing.
Yeah, Ted Nugent was there. actually, I think Stone or somebody on Def Leppard died. So they replaced him with Stone Temple Pilots and Ted Nugent. And Ted Nugent, that dude is crazy, but he puts on a hell of a show. That was pretty damn cool.
He can shred.
Yeah, and then there was Avenged Sevenfold and like some other stuff too. Wow. So I mean, it was a good lineup, but God, it was hot. And like I don't know, if I were to do it again, I would probably do Country Fest just because it's more of my like-minded people there. You know, I can ball out a country, but I mean, Rock Fest, they can go hard. So definitely a lot of respect for that right there.
Yeah, we were going on a Wednesday, so we figured like there wouldn't be a whole lot of people there, but it's just Disneyland. It's always packed. So we were still a lot of people there, but we got to go see a lot of cool stuff. So, and we'll be back, but we'll have probably a different plan moving forward on how to approach it. Cause my oldest got a spurt of energy at the end of the night. Cause it wasn't 95 out anymore and he wanted to do everything. And we're like, we got to go.
No.
But yeah, it was fun. But speaking of, you know, needing a whole day to recover, usually sometimes after these Vikings and Saints games, I feel like I need that with everything that goes on in between these two over the years. And this is who the Vikings are playing in week 4. They'll be playing in London on Sunday. It'll be early for pretty much everybody. Super early for me. I'm on the West Coast. It'll be nice and 6:30 in the morning for me. If you live in Hawaii, it's 3:30 for you. But for you, it's what, 8:30? Yeah.
Yeah, it's an 8:30 start. Yeah.
So not too bad. Not too bad. So it's on NFL Network, and I believe locally it's on Minnesota on KSTP on ABC5, and then it's local in New Orleans as well on one of their affiliates. But yeah, the Vikings and the Saints, this is a rival. Like, this is a rivalry. There's been a lot of heated battles between these two teams over the years. The Vikings have knocked them out of the playoffs the last two times they met them in the playoffs. The last two times these teams met, Alvin Kamara had 6 touchdowns right
worst
before Christmas.
Ever.
Was it on Christmas? Yeah,
it was on Christmas, yes.
Yeah, and you know, the whole Bounty Gate thing back in the day. Just about the Saints, we know that the Packers are probably the Vikings' biggest rival. They're in the division, they're across the border or whatever. But would you know, the Bears and the Lions, like, I guess they're division rivals, but I don't know if people consider them like the next rival after the Packers. Would you think that the Saints are the second most hated team behind the Packers when it comes to Vikings fans?
I guess maybe right now. Like, I mean, there's not anything to really like. Vikings fans only hate the Bears when they're good. And like the Bears are technically like our biggest rival historically. Like, they kicked the crap out of them the first game they ever played. The Bears kind of like little brothered the Vikings when they first came into the league. But I mean, the Packers, just because of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, they really rose to like number one on the list. I feel like number two, like if the Bears rebuild goes well with Ryan Pace, they'll shoot back up to number two. No problem. I mean, I get very annoyed when the Bears win because usually it's because they have a horseshoe stuck up their ass. The Saints, some of the luster is a little bit gone. It reminds me of the Minnesota Wild back in the 2000s when they were battling the Vancouver Canucks in the Northwest Division. Like, the NHL decided it'd be a good idea to place the Wild in a division where they're going up to Calgary and Vancouver and like the Northwest corner in Colorado and everything like else. And their games were all on at 9 o'clock.
It's like when the Bucks were in the Central.
Yeah. So like, you know, the Wild would always play these teams and they'd always run into the Canucks in the playoffs. And like, they had like Todd Bertuzzi was just an absolute dick. Right. And then they wound up going down 3-1. I think it was in 2000. It was in their second or third season of existence, whatever it was, but they were down 3-1. They came back from a 3-1 deficit before against Colorado, who's naturally their biggest rival. But then, they came back against Vancouver to go to the Western Conference, where they were swept in true Minnesota fashion because John Sebastian Giguere wore pads the size of a freaking house.
I was a Ducks fan back then.
I cannot say screw the Ducks because friend of the Homer Horn, Alexis Downey, is the sideline reporter there now for Bally. So I have to shout out the Ducks a little bit, but that one still stings.
The movie is set in Minnesota. So.
It is. Yeah. I could make a joke about my other friend that I know that may not have seen the movie. But I am not going to do that because I don't want to annoy the crap out of her. So getting back to your original question with the Saints, I think it's a emotionally charged matchup for Vikings fans because, you know, Bounty Gate happened. People were mad because a lot of people thought that team was going to win the Super Bowl and the Saints cheated to get it. Like that is what happened. They had a bounty system. I think a lot of other teams had it, but they were the team that got caught. So I think
the Vikings.
And that kind of triggered it. Then you have one of the other most memorable moments in NFL history, the Minneapolis Miracle, that happened against the Saints, which, you know, on its own merit is one of the greatest games in NFL history. In that moment, that's probably one of the things that fanned the flames. And then you have the win in New Orleans where Kyle Rudolph pushed off at the end of the game. So, I mean, there's just a trilogy. There's a lot of emotion behind it. Yeah.
That's right. So right now it would probably be what? Packers, Saints, Bears. It would be fourth. Can't be the Lions. Can't be the Lions, right?
I don't think anybody hates the Lions.
No. Eagles?
Eagles, maybe. I think Cowboys just are natural.
Always. Because
Drew Pearson and the
forever.
Herschel Walker trade. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Try and block that out. And then even, you know, you could even go deeper and be like, they passed on Randy Moss. So the Cowboys fans are always pissed at the Vikings for getting Randy Moss and their team not getting him. So could even.
Like we're not mad at the Falcons for 98. We're just like, Gary should have made the kick. Like,
Yeah.
You got throttled by the Broncos.
I didn't like the Falcons that year at 98 when I was 10 years old. But now I don't care about the Falcons because they're not good.
Dirty Bird was a cool dance, though.
It wasn't cool when they were doing it on the podium in the Metro.
They definitely was not. No, that ruined it for me, I think. But.
So the Vikings and Saints will play in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London, England on Sunday. Just looking at some of the past between the Vikings and Saints. So we mentioned the Bounty Gate. We mentioned the Minneapolis Miracle and 2019. Do you think that, just looking at the 2019 playoff victory, when you mentioned Kyle Rudolph game-winning catch, was that more enjoyable?
Very pushed off, yes.
Was that maybe more enjoyable than the Minneapolis Miracle because it happened inside the Superdome and the Saints were like a heavy favorite? No.
What are you even asking? Like, I was there. Like, no, of course it wasn't as good as the Minneapolis Miracle. I'm like straight up offended. It was the greatest day of my life.
Seeing
Stephon Diggs run through, and I know what happened the next week, but I mean, the team wasn't good. Like, the team screwed everything up because we signed Kirk Cousins to an extension and we gave Kyle Rudolph an extension because he built a children's hospital. Like,
here's the other thing, though. Was the Minneapolis Miracle the beginning of the end for the Mike Zimmer era?
the Minneapolis, that was the peak.
Because you're
I don't think it was the beginning of the end. I think 2019 was.
Well, because in 2018, well, after it was after the miracle, and you just got the NFC Championship, so you're thinking like, oh, we just need this one player to get us over the hump, which is signing Kirk Cousins, and then that just kind of snowballed into the end.
Like I said, it was the peak. I don't think the beginning of the end happened in 2018, excuse me. I think it happened in 2019 where Stephon Diggs is complaining about not getting the ball.
He did.
You have players starting to lose. What? Okay, he subtweeted his way out of Minnesota. People applaud you for staying home with colds.
Yeah, right.
Now.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephon Diggs did nothing.
It was 2019. He was ahead. He was ahead of his time. So, you know,
he was ahead of the curve, man. Ahead of the curve.
He was just looking out for everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say 2019, but I if someone wanted to argue that the, you know, after the 2017 season was kind of that 2018 offseason was the beginning of the end. I could hear that argument as well, just because of Mike Zimmer in the combine press conference being like, do not spend all this money on a quarterback, even though I know you're about to. It will get me fired.
He's like the gypsy in like the horror movie. Yeah. And it's just like, you do not want to go in the cave. And
Rick's feeling's like, what do you know? It'll be fine. We'll get him. Don't worry. You'll be fine. And what do you know? They're both fired now. So good one. Good job, Rick, doing that. Here's a question for you. We talked about the Bounty Gate. Do we blame the Saints Bounty Gate scheme too much for that Vikings 2009 NFC Championship loss instead of all the mistakes the Vikings actually made in that game?
I think so.
Yeah.
I do. Because I don't think I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings had, honestly. Right. Like, this was a common thing that was, I mean, there's a freaking bounty game in NFL history when, what was it, Buddy Ryan put money on, or it was Eagles Cowboys. I can't remember who put money on who, but I mean, somebody got smeared across the turf and got a whole bunch of money for it. Like, that type of system existed among players in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think Bounty Gate is kind of just something that the Viking fans use their frustration on. Just like, hey, like they don't want to admit that was the Vikings' fault. I mean, they fumbled 28 times in that game in the second half. Or it seemed like 28 for a certain reason.
And they were all on the goal line.
Yeah, and they were all on the 1 yard line. And then you had the Brett Favre interception and I mean, people can blame the Bounty Gate too, because Favre took the high low, his ankle was all screwed up. If he doesn't take that hit, does he run a couple of yards instead of forcing it to Tracy Porter? It's a butterfly effect there. So I don't know. I mean, as time went on, and plus Sean Payton's just a tool. Just the fact that he's like associated with it, like Viking fans kind of use Bounty Gate, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, now that I'm older, it's just kind of like, yeah, you still had a chance to win the game and you didn't.
Yeah.
Like, set up a field goal for Longwell. Let's go to the Super Bowl. And I don't know. I don't think we beat the Colts. So,
I do. They had five turnovers in that game. And I don't think that's really ever talked about. You cannot turn the ball over five times and expect to win. Because I think the Saints only had one turnover. And everyone's like, well, look at all the yardage the Vikings had compared to the Saints. And it's like, yeah, well, look at all the turnovers the Vikings had compared to the Saints. Then you had the 12-man penalty. So, like, a lot went into that loss. Yes, Bounty Gate is an easy one to pick out and say, like,
you want to talk about games I needed a day to recover from. There was like a $5 special at a bar called Bo's and Mine. It was all you could eat nachos and like dollar Keystone Lights. And well, College Chris had a good night, because the Vikings definitely lost, but it was a good time.
It was college was fun. There's a bunch of times where college was lots of fun. I don't remember like the Childress era, most of it because of college. So that's all I need to say about
Join
that. All
right. On the Chris and Adam Talk College podcast coming soon to you on Apple and Spotify.
Where we talk about everything we forgot. All right. So the Vikings and Saints on Sunday in London. This is the first time the Vikings have played in London since 2017, when they played the Browns. and they defeated the Browns, who I believe were winless at the time when they played them. That was when Hugh Jackson was the coach.
It was the Sean Kizer game, I believe.
It was, I do believe. Yeah. I just remember that they were losing at the half. I do remember that. The Vikings were. It wasn't high scoring where they were losing. And then everyone's like, hey, guys, let's figure something out here. London game starts early. It's not, there's no real home field advantage, but it's still kind of cool. But like, are you a fan of the London games, or are they just, I don't know, nothing, they don't really make you too excited or whatever?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
I don't know.
They're there. I mean, when I first started, you know, I know I'm talking a lot about drinking in this podcast, but I mean, I had a friend who lived up across from a bar in Wisconsin, and I went and visited him for the first London game. I believe it was Steelers? Detroit. I think this is the first 8:30 London game, because they always used to have like ones at noon.
Oh, yeah.
So this was Lions Falcons, I believe. And we went over across the street to the bar at like 10:30, because we're like, we'll just go at halftime. It's Wisconsin. Bars are always open. So like, we go to the bar at 10:30 in the morning. We get there and like the bar keeps just behind there and like, you guys open? And he's like, oh, we are now. What do you want? So we both had a Bloody Mary, and the Vikings played at noon. It was great. But I think
who are the quarterbacks?
What's that?
Who are the quarterbacks?
Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan.
Oh, they were. Okay. But they were super young, probably.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I don't think they were. Yeah. I don't think it was way far back, but it was at least.
I was wondering if it was Joey Harrington was at the quarterback, because he was a quarterback for both teams.
No. I would have been in high school. So that was not Joey Harrington. But yeah.
Like I said, I don't remember much of that era. So
it's not, I don't know. It's just there. You know, it's cool to see your team in there. I mean, someday when they go across the pond, maybe I'll make the trip and it'll be pretty cool. I mean, it's a good excuse to go to London, because like, most of my travel is like baseball stadiums, right? Like, let's go to St. Louis and check out the stadium. Oh, okay. I've been to St. Louis. Like you just knock cities off naturally there. And, you know, you see a couple other things around the city. So, yeah.
I think it's cool. I don't know. I don't think I like that it's a game that matters. I feel like I'd like it more if it was an exhibition game. Like the fact that one team loses a home game, I don't think is that great, because it just, home games are so important in the NFL, and one game can really make a difference. So the Saints, they're screwed for this game. And the Saints are a team that has a huge home field advantage. If this game was in New Orleans, the Vikings would not be favored right now, because New Orleans is a tough place to play no matter what the Saints record is. So I'd rather have it be like an exhibition game, preseason game. I know they do some stuff. They've got a game in Mexico too, I think, this year. So like they're trying to spread it out globally. I don't know how well it's doing. I'm sure it's fine. It's the NFL. They make billions of dollars, but I'd rather prefer, because if this was the Vikings who were the home team, I think a lot of Vikings fans would be pissed off that they lost a home game to London, which is what happened, I think, the last two times they went.
Yeah. It's a lot like the NHL has the Winter Classic.
Yeah.
And like the Wild hosted it last year, mm-hmm. and they played the Blues in a regular season game where it was like negative 15 outside and the ice was all choppy and everything. I mean, not an excuse because they got blown off the face of the planet like by the Blues like they always do. But I'm feeling a lot of hockey today, I guess.
You know? It's coming
Openers
back, right?
In
it's
2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they play a preseason game tonight.
It's coming back.
Call some hockey people, get them on the pod. But
all right. So this game, there's a lot of injuries going on both sides. We got Dalvin Cook's dealing with his shoulder that he injured on Sunday against the Lions. He did not practice on Wednesday, but on today, Thursday, he practiced in full. So that's something to keep an eye on. I'm sure he'll still probably – I'd be surprised if he wasn't listed as questionable. If it was the old injury tags, he'd probably be probable, but they can't do that anymore. But it's been reported, like, even before this practice that he's going to wear a harness and play. Za'Darius Smith, dealing with a knee injury, has not practiced at all this week. I think that's something – keep an eye on. Doesn't seem like he's probably going to play. Harrison Smith is back from his concussion. I think CJ Ham is dealing with like something with his foot. And Eric Kendricks has like a toe injury, but he's been practicing on as well. But then on the Saints side, you got a bunch of injuries. You got Jameis Winston, you got Michael Thomas, you got Jarvis Landry, Taysom Hill's dealing with something. So like they've got like 10 guys on their injury report, but specifically looking at the Vikings in terms of it looks like Dalvin Cook's going to play. But he's not going to be 100%. And then Za'Darius Smith looks like he's not going to play. But if they were both not going to play, which player would be a greater loss versus the Saints on Sunday? Which player would, like, would you rather have? I know Dalvin Cook's not going to be 100%. So is it going to be harder for the Vikings to win with him not at 100% compared to just not having Za'Darius Smith?
So I'm trying to look it up right now, the pressure numbers for the Vikings this season.
He leads.
Because what's that?
He leads the Vikings in pressure. I think he has like 15.
Right. I was going to do a quick like percentage type thing, but I don't know. I got the window too small, but it's, yeah. Anyway, Za'Darius Smith is definitely the larger loss here. I mean, he is the Vikings pass rush along with Danielle Hunter right now. Nobody else is doing anything. DJ Wanham is the cleaner because he just cleans up all the sacks that are created by pressures from Smith and Hunter. I do not know anything that's going on in the interior offensive line right now. The Vikings don't blitz to create pressure because we just want to sit back in a shell, let them nickel and dime us 5 or 10 yards and not give up 60-yard touchdowns, even though we do anyway because our secondary doesn't know what they're doing half the time. Yeah, I mean, the Vikings really need Za'Darius to play. It's not looking good. And, you know, we knew this at the beginning of the season. There was no depth behind there. The Vikings had plenty of opportunities to take an edge rusher in this draft, which, by the way, every defensive player that the Vikings took in this year's draft has not played at all. Not Lewis Cine, not Brian Asamoah, not anyone. So I have a lot of questions about what's going on there. And might be
listen,
a little
Paul
bit patient for...
Listen, Paul.
I saw the stat. If you're going to complain about what happened with Mike Zimmer and the rookies last year, you have to point it out for Kevin O'Connell. So, I mean, it's a good tweet by Charge. I mean, it was kind of an eye opener.
They're playing special teams. Okay, they're playing special teams.
Do you draft a guy 32nd overall to play special teams?
Maybe their special teams was terrible last year, so maybe you do.
Rick Spielman took a kick returner in the first
round.
Correct.
He took he's Rick Spielman
kick returner
drafted a punter,
slash running back,
a kick
now,
returner, but... a kicker, a long snapper. So yeah. you draft for special, not maybe not in the first round, but you draft for special teams for sure. Yeah. Za'Darius Smith has 25% of the Vikings total pressures this year.
Nice math.
So yeah, they're gonna miss him for sure, and it doesn't look like he's gonna play. I would prefer that he doesn't play. Because it's week 4, Vikings are still doing pretty good. He's a little older guy. I don't think they're gonna necessarily need him for this game. I'm not worried about. I would rather have him for, let's say, they're going against the Dolphins, or they're going against the Cardinals to try and slow down Kyler Murray. I'd rather have him for those games.
Well, and I think you can make the same argument for Dalvin Cook right now. That whole injury is pretty weird. I did a piece at Zone Coverage about Cook's injury history and kind of where the shoulder thing came from. He actually tore his labrum in his freshman year in 2016 when he was climbing up some stairs in the weight room and slipped. So, I mean, that's a win for the old Dalvin Cook is made of glass crowd that's out there. But, you know, he bounced back. He was one of the top running backs in the nation. He aggravated in 2016, 2019. Yep. In each case, he had to miss a game. But when he came back, he just went off. Like last year, he puts on the harness and whatever. He runs for 200 yards against the Steelers. But Tom Pelissero basically said he suffered the injury because he didn't have his harness on. They keep his shoulder in place because he hasn't had surgery to repair it.
I don't know why.
It's kind of like when your mom's like, hey, you want to take the chicken out of the freezer so we can eat tonight? And you forget and you see the doorknob turning. And you're like, uh-oh. Yeah.
I took it out. Yeah.
That's basically what happened.
Does he fumble every time it gets hurt? It seems like it.
That's my friend's theory that he just starts grabbing his shoulder.
Xavier Rhodes, Rhodes thing. Oh, I pulled a hammy.
Ah, sorry guys.
Xavier Rhodes now a Buffalo Bill. So you got Case Keenum out there, Stephon Diggs, Xavier Rhodes, Leslie Frazier. It's just, you know, Vikings AFC East apparently a little better though right now. Actually same record actually right now. So can't really say that they're that much better. Their offenses. I would say that. So the Saints side, Jameis Winston has missed both practices this week with his injury. And it sounds like Andy Dalton could be on track to start for the Saints on Sunday. Now, I believe Andy Dalton started in 2020 against the Vikings when he was with the Cowboys. And everyone was like, oh, easy game. Dak's out. Andy Dalton's the quarterback. Oh, guess what? The Cowboys won that game. Didn't really have much trouble doing it either. So, does it matter for the Vikings if Winston or Dalton starts? I guess I'm saying, would you rather have Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton start on Sunday?
It depends on if this head coach takes backup quarterbacks more seriously than the last head coach did. Because remember when I'll tell you about another Dallas Cowboys game when Cooper Rush beat the Vikings when I was in
attendance. I don't remember that game.
Because Xavier Rhodes or Xavier Woods said they didn't even prepare for Cooper Rush at all because they just thought Dak was going to play. I think the Vikings won't be as foolish this time around. I would rather play against the guy with three broken vertebrae in his back right now than a healthy Andy Dalton. And I would rather play against the guy who is the most YOLO quarterback in NFL history because Jameis Winston's average depth of target is 12 yards per target, which means he is second in the NFL. You know what the Vikings do? They prevent large targets down the field. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that if Winston plays, he's just going to YOLO it up and throw it in the hands of Cam Bynum, Harrison Smith, whoever it may be. So I would definitely rather play Jameis Winston, but I don't think there's a huge difference between the two because I don't know. Again, does the head coach take backup quarterbacks more seriously than the last one? We don't know.
Yeah. I'd like to hope so. I'd like to hope so. Because I think a lot of times during the Zimmer era, they would go against a backup quarterback and be like, we don't even need to like prepare for this guy. And like a quarter into the game, you're like, well, I guess we should have prepared a little bit because this guy's...
This Brandon Allen guy is pretty good. Jeez. He's not
this David Blau guy isn't that bad.
Chase Daniel, where did he come from? I thought he was a coach.
There's a long list of backup quarterbacks. Matt Moore when the Vikings played the Chiefs.
I wish he would have coached against Sean Mannion just to see like what would have happened. Just would Mannion have gotten a win and just thrown
his
for
first
three
career
touchdowns
win
or something?
Against the Vikings? That would have happened for sure.
Yeah.
yeah. I think I would rather have Winston play just because he's hurt. If he was healthy, I think it'd be I'd want Dalton to play. But with Winston hurting, he's got an ankle injury too, I think. Still in multiple ailments. And Michael Thomas, it doesn't sound like he's going to play either, so he's not going to have many people to even chuck the ball up to. And not that I think Michael Thomas has had a huge impact since his return, except for that first game where he caught two touchdowns. But yeah, Andy Dalton just, I don't know, for whatever reason, that worries me that he could come in and just be that spark like Cooper Rush is right now for the Cowboys. He's Cooper Rush 2-0. He's 3-0 in his career. One of those.
Does that make you feel any better about that loss, though? Like
a little bit.
Maybe.
A little bit. Because he's not that bad.
Like, right.
He's, for a backup quarterback in the NFL, that's what you want him to do.
Sure.
You want him to come in, not make mistakes, and help you win games. That's exactly what Cooper Rush is doing. Listen, Jerry Jones right now is like, well, it could be a quarterback competition when Dak's healthy. Meanwhile, Dak's like, I can play next week. I'm ready. My thumb's falling off, but I can play next week.
Duct tapes his thumb to his hand.
He does not want to lose his job to Cooper Rush. And at the same time, I'm like, dude, you're getting paid so much money. Like, if you have to sit out a little longer because Cooper Rush is playing well, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but he's a competitor. But I just think it's funny. Jerry Jones is like, oh, Cooper Rush, you never know. It could be a quarterback competition. And Mike McCarthy's like, no, I don't think so.
We're already playing Zeke until his wheels fall off. I'm not playing Cooper Rush,
but
yeah, Jerry.
But Cooper Rush, he's exactly what you want in a backup quarterback. That's what the Vikings kind of had. And he's got a little Case Keenum in him where, like, he's a backup. He doesn't worry about, like, turning the ball over. He'll make those throws that you think are like, ugh, like, don't make that. But he's a backup quarterback, so he's willing to take those chances because he wants to make those plays. All right, let's just move on to some predictions for Sunday. Once again, the game is on at 8:30 Central Time. If you're going to watch it, so don't forget, don't wake up at noon or 11 and be like, what happens halftime? Because it's going to start early on Sunday. So the Vikings will win over the Saints on Sunday if they do what?
They will win if they. Well, okay. So my thing was based off of Jameis Winston. So I'm kind of thinking they need to force Jameson mistakes. They need to get pressure on him. I'm assuming he's going to play. I think he's going to waddle his way out there or whatever with a broken back and try and play. Like that's just kind of my theory right now. Like I said, his game plays right into the teeth of the Viking defense. Mm-hmm. And if they can create some turnovers and some impact plays that give the offense a short field, I think that's exactly what the offense needs to get going because they have not been great the first couple of weeks. So I'm going to go with that. If they can force Jameis Winston in some mistakes, or whether it be Andy Dalton, I think that the Vikings will win this game. How about you?
It's pretty simple to me. I think they need to stop the run. I think if Jameis is hurt or even if Andy Dalton plays, I think the Saints are going to lean a lot on their running game with Alvin Kamara, and they have Mark Ingram back now. Those guys have hurt the Vikings pretty good in the past, and right now the Vikings are not good against the run. They've allowed they're 24th in the NFL in rushing yards allowed, 18th in yards per carry, 31st in rushing touchdowns allowed. So they need to get their, you know, shit together in the middle there and stop the run better than they have this season, because that's an easy way for the Saints to come in and win and hold on to the ball and keep it out of the Vikings' hands. It's just run the ball, run the clock down. Like, Jameis Winston doesn't have to do too much. Andy Dalton won't have to do too much. So they got to stop the run. They got to stop it early so that the Saints just feel like they have to pass. They should get the Vikings. I feel like if they get out to an early lead, that'll force the Saints into more passing situations, easier pass rush for the Vikings, more turnover opportunities. and I feel like the Vikings should, it'd be nice if they had a special teams touchdown or big special teams play in this one. Cause they got Jalen Reagor, hasn't really done much. Even Kane Wong, who's been pretty quiet in terms of kickoff returns this year. So I'd like to see something out of that. But yeah, stopping the run, I think, is kind of underrated going into this game. So I don't think a lot of people are thinking about that. And when the Vikings are not that great and the Saints have two really good running backs. So the Vikings will lose against the Saints on Sunday if they don't do what?
Limit big plays. I think it's the other side of the coin, and I know it's a cop out, but you know, I think Michael Thomas being out is a benefit if it happens for the Vikings, because he is slant poised, so he's going to work underneath that shell coverage.
That's perfect for him.
That, that's perfect for him to eat. And Chris Olave is a very good player. I mean, mm-hmm. he is one of my favorite receivers in this draft class. I know that Drake London is blowing out right now for the Falcons, but
Kerry Wilson.
Chris Olave, he's a bad man. And I mean, if you have more of those miscommunications in the secondary, I'm looking mm-hmm. at you, Cameron Dantzler. He's going to get loose down the field, and that's going to be a big play. So I think limiting those big plays are going to be a priority for the Vikings coming into this game.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be huge. I'm curious to see if they just keep sticking with their zone coverage that they've been going with because of the kind of routes that this Saints team or basically any team that they've played so far has run against them with just some, you know, shallow crossers over the middle and slants and things like that. Their teams aren't really going deep on them. I know the Eagles did on that one play, but it hasn't really happened since then. And I know it's early, so it could happen again, but teams aren't really going deep. They just find the holes in the zone, get these guys in space, and they gain a lot of yards after the catch. And the Vikings have to figure out how to stop that, because they can't do that every year. I know it's bend, don't break or whatever. Not every year, every week. It's bend, don't break. And their main goal is to keep them out of the end zone, keep them from scoring points. But you could just stop them, too. That keeps them out of the end zone. Like, you could, you know, not have them gain so many yards, and then it'd be harder for them to get in the end zone. So I think I'm just curious to see. I guess they would lose if they, yeah, like you said, I'm going with you. If they give up the big plays, it's really simple, but at the same time, it doesn't seem like it's too simple for the Vikings this year, because they've given up a lot of big plays, and that has to stop. You can't sustain that all year. It's got to stop, especially when you get in the playoffs. That's not going to work. All right, final score prediction from each of us. Vikings are favored by 2.5 points right now, according to FanDuel Sportsbook. And the over-under is 43.5, which is 10 points less than what the over-under was last week against the Lions.
I think this is going to be a weird game. I think the Saints are beat up. I'm not comfortable enough to pick the Vikings to just blow them out. But I think the Saints are very depleted. Their offense has struggled outside of one quarter against Atlanta, and especially if they have to start Andy Dalton, who I think he's probably the better quarterback to attack this defense than Jameis Winston. So yeah. I'm going to go 21-13 Vikings.
Okay. That's fair. Because the over-under is pretty low, so no one's really expecting it to be a shootout. For good reason. The Vikings offense hasn't really shown a lot that they can do that either. But I'm going to go with, I guess this would kind of be a blowout for the Vikings this year, which is, but a 10-point win, 27-17.
Sure.
I think the Vikings are going to be kind of in control of this for pretty much the whole game, and the Saints will score like a late touchdown to bring the score within 10. But I'm not worried about this game at all, because I don't think the Saints are very good. I know a lot of people were high on them. Peter King picked the Saints to be the number one seed in the NFC before the season.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not
what
looking so great right now.
You know, things can change. A lot of things can happen. It's only week four, but they don't look good. Sean Payton probably helped that team, you know, helped that team win a lot more games than they probably should have. His loss is probably the biggest that they've had to deal with. Their defense is still pretty decent. And the offense is okay, but there's nothing about them that impresses me. They should probably be 0-3. They should have lost to the Falcons if the Falcons, you know, weren't the Falcons and could hold a lead ever in their history. So they should be 0-3, and I think the Vikings will be able to get this win unless there's like some random serious injury or something. But hopefully that doesn't happen. But once again, the game will be on at 8:30 Central on Sunday on NFL Network, and if you're local in Minnesota, it'll be on KSTP, and it's also on local in New Orleans. Otherwise, got to figure out how to find it on NFL Network. So go and put that on your calendar. See if you can find some streaming links now before you have to look on Sunday and you forget. But we're done here for today. We'll talk to you guys next Monday, hopefully reacting to another Vikings win. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to this video. Like this video. And if you have done that already, we appreciate you for doing that. Make sure to follow on Twitter and Facebook. The audio version of this podcast will be available tomorrow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. So go check that out in the morning. But until Monday, Chris and I talk to you later.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.